Hey, my beautiful gemsters, and welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. For those of you that are new, I am the founder and host, Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp. For those seasoned listeners, thank you so much for tuning back in. With me today is Ege Reynolds, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who he is, and then we're going to dive into the fun part of our conversation. So Ege Reynolds is a former software engineer who is now the founder and CEO of The Charming Man, helping genuine, analytical men attract and date women authentically. He's passionate about using dating as a vehicle to help men step into their higher self and helps his clients transform holistically through the real attraction system. He helps these men become more attractive to women by focusing on four principles: relaxation, expression, empathy, and leading. These principles guide our clients like a compass for their dating lives and allow them to meet and date women in a sustainable way. That is a win for them and the women they meet. Ooh, is that saucy or not, y'all? So welcome, Ege.
Thank you. I love that intro. It made me, I don't know if you're into basketball, but it made me feel like when basketball players come in and they go at number 25 and then they say their name and everyone cheers. So that was awesome.
My pleasure. I hope I did it justice, which it sounds like I did. So I want to get you connected with the audience in a fun and personal manner. And we can do that by either a rapid fire 10 question game or an icebreaker. What are you in the mood for?
Let's do an icebreaker.
Okie dokie. So we're breaking the ice. So, Ege, I want you to share something fun, thrill-seeking, and maybe crazy to others that you have done so far in your life, but it actually built some character and you learn more about yourself.
That's a very good question. And it's quite difficult to pick from experiences, but when you asked that, one thing that came to mind is I think this was around 4 or 5 years ago. This was before COVID. But me and my friends had decided to sign up for a Tough Mudder, which I don't know if you've heard of a Tough Mudder before, but it's basically not a race, but it's more of a team-based obstacle course in the mud that goes for 12 miles and it has 25 obstacles. So personally, I'm not a fan of running, but because there were obstacles, it keeps you engaged because you're always going from one place to the next and going through obstacles. And they have crazy things like, you know, you do an ice bath, but you have to swim through it. So you need to put your head inside to swim across, or you go through tunnels, you jump from stuff. Some of the obstacles you have to work as a team. So one of them, you made like a human ladder and then your team could climb through each other and then you go on the other side. So that was one of the craziest experiences I had. And I remember this was when I was in school. So we woke about 5 a.m., went to the obstacle course. I think I finished around 23 of the 25. Some of them were quite difficult. But I remember when I got back to the school, I was so tired that I could not walk anymore. And I was extremely hungry as well. So I walked over to the sandwich shop and I ordered a sandwich. And as I was waiting for the sandwich, I just decided to sit on the floor. And all these people are looking at me like, is this guy okay? I'm like, guys, you have no idea what I've been through today. Got my sandwich and then moved on. But the reason I wanted to share that was I never saw myself as the type of person who would do something like that. And after I did that, it gave me a sense of confidence to go, wow, I can truly do things that I didn't think I could do.
Wow, that is incredible. And thank you for sharing, because it showed resilience, personal growth, you challenge yourself and all of that jazz. And then also the accountability for your teammates, which are your friends and et cetera. So that is incredible. Before we dive in, Ege, where are you from originally?
Yeah, I grew up in Turkey. So I lived in Turkey until I was 18. And then I went to school to LA, and that was my first time in the US.
Okay, nice. Did you have any family in LA or the US before coming over?
No, so when I was coming, I came initially. They have these programs in some schools where you can come in the summer. So if you start freshman year, you don't come in September, you come maybe in July. I did that because I'd never been to the US before, and Turkey is halfway across the world. So I thought this is going to be interesting. I came to that program. My dad came with me for a week to help me settle in, buy some stuff to get ready for school. And then after that week, he left. And I was like, man, I know absolutely no one in this country. But I think on the positive side of that, that's one of the experiences that gave me the ability to reinvent myself, because I didn't have to hold on to stories of, oh, but this is how these people know me, so I need to act in accordance with what they expect, because I didn't have anyone that knew me from before. And that became a way for me to be a lot more free in my expression.
Oh, nice. Thank you for sharing that. And you stayed. So guys and gals, he liked it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So now we're going to dive into the work that you're doing now. So one of the things is, how do we authentically approach and connect you men with women without freezing up or overthinking? Because sometimes, let's be honest, software engineers, sometimes y'all have these cush jobs. You're at home, you're not trying to leave your house. People want to put you in a box. You may have put yourself in a box. So how do you break out of that?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting question, because for an engineer, it's so easy to think about something as a problem. And then the first thing when they look at a problem is to go, okay, how do I optimize this? But when you try to optimize dating, it takes the romance out of the process. Like, we don't want to date just a computer program. We want to date another human with emotions, feelings, experiences. And I think the way to do that, first of all, is to recognize, for people who are more analytical, that being analytical is very good at work. Of course, you don't want to show up to work and go, oh, I feel really good about this program, we should just deploy this and see what happens. You want to be thorough in the work that you do. But I think the first switch is understanding dating is a completely different skill set. And especially speaking to women, it's a lot more emotional, and people connect through emotions. So I think mindset-wise, that's the first switch. And then the second thing is just getting out of the house, because so many people are isolated in their houses. And especially if the weather's cold, you don't want to go out. Just taking that first step to make the time to get out there and be around more people, that's what I would start with. And then from there, we can move on to, you know, starting conversations, going from there. But I think for a lot of engineer-minded people who may be working from home or are comfortable, just do that to begin with, and don't worry about step 10 when you haven't even got to step one.
Yes. So get out the home, fellas, and shift your mindset. But let's talk about emotions, because you mentioned that women love a man that could, you know, be connected with them on an emotional level. And sometimes that is hard for men. They're like, I don't know how to be emotional. I don't know what you need. I don't know. I don't know. But I was like, have you stopped to ask? Have you stopped to say, hey, babe, or however you address your partner, what am I doing that is not giving you what you want? And what is it that you would like me to do? Like, share that from a male perspective.
Yeah, I think when it comes to understanding someone, the first step is always taking the time to ask questions. It's not like I or anyone else has a magical power where we see someone and we're like, oh, I know exactly what emotions they want to feel. That doesn't exist. But I think, like, a lot of guys come into it thinking these are the things that I need to do, versus if you just take the time to be genuinely curious and ask the person in front of you, hey, what do you like to do? Or how do you feel about this? Or what got you into this? And then instead of feeling like I have to be the one talking, so I impress her with all these things I have, just sit back and listen and let them have the spotlight of the conversation. Then you can just go deeper into that conversation by asking questions that are more open-ended, like, what got you into this? You know, how did you come to like whatever your hobbies are? And just building upon that, I think people think it's a very complicated thing to connect, whereas it's very simple. And it's all about asking the right questions, but also sitting back and being okay with silence, because usually we fill in silence because we don't feel comfortable with it. If we were to just sit in that moment, that person would probably tell us more about what we just asked them about.
That is so true, because if you ask a question that does not require a simple answer, they're going to go into details. You just have to listen for those details, and then you make those mental notes, and then you can ask follow-up questions. You can really engage and really show yourself that you are listening, and that's, you know, verbally as well as non-verbally. How are you responding based on what they said? What is your body language saying? Like, you know, all of that is very important. So with you being in the space that you are in, are you dating, and what kind of got you in this space to help other introverts and analytical men like yourself?
Yeah, so I have a girlfriend now. We've been together since the beginning of the year. But what got me into this was mainly, this is something I struggled with for years. I was really good in school. And when you grow up in Turkey, it's not like the US where there's extracurricular activities, you do sports, you watch some games. Your mom tells you, hey, Ege, go study. And then once you get into engineering school and get this cool job, then the woman will come. Don't worry about that for now. Just go get some A's. So I did that for years. And then I realized, women aren't coming. What am I supposed to do now? And after that realization, I realized, okay, I have to do something about this. I can't just achieve stuff assuming this achievements will attract whoever I want to attract. And even if that worked as a strategy, it's not a good strategy, because we don't really want someone who only likes us for what we have. We want someone who can love us for who we are. And we can communicate who we are through our ability to start a conversation, to be curious. And I really sucked at that. Like, I was really good. People would come speak to me because they wanted the answers to the homework, not because they wanted to actually get to know me. So when I came to the US the year before, I went down from, you know, 225 pounds to 170 pounds. So had a big weight loss transformation. And then when I got to school, I thought to myself, kind of what we were discussing earlier, no one knows me here. So if I want to be someone who's more extroverted, I can almost embody that and just throw myself into the chaos and see what happens. So my first week, you know, I had two of my dorm mates. I was being social with them. We became really good friends. They're really good people. And then I would just knock on people's dorm rooms and go, hey, my name is Ege. Nice to meet you. Where are you from? Oh, what are you studying? And I became really good at making friends with people just through that exposure. And I think I had a very deep need to connect with people because I loved people. Like I loved random conversations, laughing together, having fun. And then I got good at making friends, but I was very scared of showing a woman that I was interested in her. Because in my culture, in Turkey, those things are never really discussed. Like, you kind of just figure it out at some point on your own. And maybe you've had a crush in high school, but you don't really ask that to your family. If you ask that to your family, they'll be like, don't worry about that. Go study harder. So I felt very clueless around that and scared about that. And second year of college, I had a girlfriend through a dating app, and eventually things didn't really work out. And through that heartbreak, I told myself, okay, I want to be in charge of who I can meet. I didn't want to rely on some application to show me someone's pictures and for me to make a movement. And then through that I meet someone. I wanted to be the person who could step into that courage. So what got me into coaching this was really going from the comfort of living a life where I was scared to stepping into that courage, realizing how much it changed my life, and also seeing, okay, I can help others change their lives the similar way.
Nice. So did you use these principles that you're helping men on your now girlfriend? Did you use that to swoo her?
So that's a funny question, because I met my girlfriend in a salsa class.
Ooh.
And usually it's a bit tricky with what I do for work because, you know, based on your upbringing, what you've seen, what type of movies you watched, when you see a dating coach from the outside, you might think, oh, that's very cool. Or you might think, oh, this guy's a complete clown. He's probably trying to just sleep with a lot of women and doesn't care about anyone's feelings. And, you know, there have been situations in the past where I would meet someone very genuinely. They would find out what I did and they would completely flip and think, oh, you use these strategies on me and things like that, which was quite painful because, you know, I grew up with two sisters. I always had a genuine love for women and the feminine energy. And that was just very hurtful. But when I met my girlfriend, it was funny because I don't use Instagram personally much, but I was just in Austin. I thought, why not? It's a good tool to connect. But I used it for my business. And when I was adding her on Instagram, I added her with my business profile without realizing, oh, that's my business profile. And of course, you know, she's a smart woman. She saw that, right? And then 15, 20 minutes later, I was like, oh, wait, I added her with my business profile. Let me just switch that back. Added her with my personal profile. And I thought, you know what? That's actually good that happened, because if she's going to judge me based on just the profile she saw, then that's okay. Like, it's better to get that out of the way now than to worry about that later. And, you know, we've grown very close since then. And she told me that the first time she saw my profile, she's like, wait, what? What does this guy do? What is a dating coach? I don't understand. And the first couple of times we met, there was a part of her who was like, is he using these strategies or is this his strategy? And she was a bit hesitant. But I think for me, a lot of this is really about being true to yourself so that that truth shines through you. And then people are either drawn to that or not. And the more time she spent around me, she saw, okay, this is just who he is. And I also explained it to her. To me, like, when I say using dating as a vehicle for growth, I don't just say that because it looks cool. I really believe it. And I think so many men, their biggest insecurities are around dating. Like, they might be crushing it at work. They might be getting really fit in the gym, but they might see a woman they really want to speak to and completely freeze. And I believe if someone can step into that courage, then you unlock a different version of yourself. So when I told her why I started coaching, what it meant to me, the impact it had on others, she's like, okay, I can get behind this. And like, now if we're walking around or going somewhere, she'll actually take pictures for me so I could post on my socials and use it for work. And she's been incredibly helpful about that.
That is amazing. I would love to see y'all maybe do like a two-part thing. You're doing it for the men, and then maybe like she learns from you and like do it for the women. But from a woman's perspective, I think that would be like super cool to like piggyback off of that.
Yeah, I've had female friends who I met, and they were like, do you have a guy for me? So we might do that at some point, depending on how the business transforms. But I think, as you said, like, there's also women who are very helpful in this niche as well. And I think that especially nowadays with technology, we're just so separated from each other. that there is no shame around having a coach, around relationships, because that's what keeps us fulfilled, not just surface level connections, but genuine relationships where we feel appreciated, loved, accepted.
Yeah, because as a woman on the flip side, I have a lot, well, not a lot. I have a few friends of mine who are single and, you know, they're looking for that guy, but they're like, where is he? Like a guy that is about his business, that likes to have fun and all of these things. And they're like, yeah, because sometimes like some guys just want to be with you for what you could give them, you know, like sexually, and then they're gone. So I feel like, you know, women who are generally out there looking for their partner, their forever person, like needs help in that area too. And like, so that's why I pitched that, because I think it would be really good. But one of the things I do want to ask you, Ege, is you talked about Buddhist principles to date women from places of joy, peace, and love. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, great question. So when I first became coaching, a lot of this stuff I learned through books that were more geared towards like science. So I'd read books. A classic one is How to Win Friends and Influence People. Lots of people have read it, just about connecting with people. Or I would read, you know, I would find strategic ways like, oh, I'm curious, tell me more about this. You say I'm curious and people open up. And then my journey came to a point where I felt, okay, what's the higher purpose behind this? I'm learning cool things, I'm connecting with people, what's next in my journey? And then I met a mentor who was really big in meditation. And this was around 2 years ago where I started doing very long form meditations. Like I do an hour a day, sometimes 90 minutes a day. And then last November, we did a 3 week retreat. So I was meditating like 6, 7 hours a day for 10 days and then very deep, like sitting in different states. And when you do that, depending on, you know, how prone to you that you are, what your karma is, things like that, you start to see certain characteristics in life, which is everything is impermanent, everything is unsatisfactory, and then everything is impersonal. So we can find those three characteristics in every sensation. And when I say it that way, it may sound a bit cold, like, oh, everything's impersonal, but I love my friends and I love my family. How's that impersonal? But I don't mean it that way. What I mean is everything's impermanent, which means from a dating standpoint, if you're a guy, you see a woman you want to speak to, you feel like you just want to run back home and hide behind a corner because you're so scared, that fear is impermanent. 2 years later, that's not going to exist. 2 days later, not going to exist. Maybe even 2 hours later, you might think about it, but it won't be as intense. And when you see that, it's easier to get yourself to go speak to that person. And also the second one, the unsatisfactoriness. So many guys obsess over a woman that they don't even know. And it's not the woman they obsess over, it's the mental representation of like what she represents. Maybe she said this really nice thing, or she was super kind, and now they made an image of her, but they don't truly know her. And when we can recognize, even if that image was true, eventually you're going to get used to that and it will be unsatisfactory. Then we reduce that pressure of like idolizing people and thinking, wow, this person's amazing. I don't know what to do about them. And I keep thinking about them constantly. And then when we see it's all impersonal, that's when we can really start taking rejection or strange, awkward social situations and go, this wasn't really about me. Which brings me to kind of what I said with how I met my girlfriend, or how some people might think like, oh, dating coach, that sounds terrible, that sounds manipulative. And some people might think, wow, that sounds very cool. Let me look at this guy's content, see if he's teaching good stuff or if he's like teaching terrible things, and then make a decision. But that is completely impersonal. So seeing those three characteristics, which come from Buddhism, can be very helpful in dating and overall navigating life. Because when you see those things, it's easier to stay peaceful and it's easier to stay joyful. And you don't get caught up as much in the emotions of the process.
I like that. And thank you for sharing and elaborating on how those principles could carry on throughout all areas of your life and dating to just help you feel secure and find that security in your relationship and that other person. Now, another big component is when you're dating or you're courting is your heart. How can you connect with yourself at the heart level as well as somebody else's heart to really show them like you matter to me and I want to be in this with you? Because I feel like in this day and age, we should be dating for a purpose, and that purpose is to either be married or lifelong partners, not just a pastime. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think nowadays people are very lost and lots of people kind of use each other for pleasure, which is a bit sad. But I think in that sense, we can't take on that suffering either. That's just how people learn sometimes. And I've been there myself in the past. It's just people's journey. But I agree that the heart component is very important. And without the heart component, people can be very unfulfilled even when they get what they want. Like people think, oh, I just want to spend some time with people. But if your heart's not in it, you're actually inviting more suffering into your life by chasing that experience. And I think a simple way to have your heart more in the process, and I think women are so much better at having their heart in the process. Like men are just terrible when it comes to connecting to their heart and being in that moment. So one exercise I would give for people who want to practice this is actually sit with your heart more. So put your awareness around your heart and sit with it and see how it feels. Because if you're an engineer, what are you actually doing? You're spending 8-10 hours a day here trying to fix problems. And like, of course, you're not going to be as good as sitting with your heart because you haven't practiced that as much. You can't expect to, you know, go to one tennis practice and try to be amazing in tennis like Roger Federer. You need to practice how to build that connection. And a simple way to do that is imagine something or someone you really love and sit with how that feels. And when I say sit, you can do that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And eventually you're going to get a feeling of that connection and how it's like when you're making a decision from your heart and when you're making a decision from your head. And the key thing is your head thinks about stuff. Your mind thinks about what's going to happen, what may happen, what happened in the past. But your heart knows. And if you can pay attention to that, you're going to have much more of a peaceful, aligned dating life. That decisions you say no to, you'll say no because you know they're not good for you. And what you say yes to becomes even more beautiful because it's an intentional choice that you have made.
I absolutely love that. I love the intentionality behind sitting with yourself and your heart and just doing that connection so you could, you know, bring that up in your daily life and outwardly. Because if you don't know who you are inwardly, how are you going to match with someone else externally when you're struggling to find out who you are outside as well as internally? So you have to be rooted with yourself at the core level in order to be whole and fully complete, because a broken person is not gonna match well with another person that is or may not be broken. So now I want to jump to CTA, which is the call to action part of the segment, because what good is sharing, you know, these gems without having the audience take what they heard and apply it in their life? So let's start with the homework and then we'll do the connection part afterwards. So what's your homework for the audience today once they hear this recording or they watch the video?
Yeah, my homework would be, again, don't take anything I said as truth. Actually test it out and see if it makes a difference for your life, because this will resonate with some people. It won't resonate with others. And, you know, the practices I'm giving here, I don't have anything else behind the curtain. These are the exact practices I give to my clients. Now, what matters is how deep you can go within these practices. It's different to be in your heart maybe 5, 10% more versus 80% more. So my homework would be everything we shared here, go test it out first. And then if you resonate with that, then you can reach out and let me know what you thought about the practice and where you can go from there.
Yes. Thank you, Ege. And then for the connection piece, how can they connect with you, get involved in your ecosystem, and learn more about what you have going on?
Yeah, you can connect with me if you're on YouTube. The Charming Man is our YouTube channel. On Facebook, Ege Reynolds, as we discussed here. And then on Instagram, at Real Charming Man. You can find me on all those platforms. Send me a DM. I'll personally respond to you. And yeah, just go in there, consume the content, and I hope that it makes a difference in your life.
Perfect. And y'all, all of those will be in the show notes. I'll have the links there. So all you have to do is click on it so you could get in touch with Ege. And Ege, my personal challenge is, how do you say good morning, beautiful in Turkish?
That's a great question. There's many ways to say that, but because we're speaking in English, my mind gave an error. Give me one second.
Because I'm going to practice saying it, y'all. I'm going to practice on my husband.
Yeah. So good morning is günaydın.
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 It's like günay. Let's say günay.
Günay.
And then din, like you're hitting a dong. Like din.
Din. This günaydın. Is a lot hard. Günaydın.
Yeah, so that's good morning. And beautiful is tatlım.
Tatlım.
Yeah, that means good morning, my beautiful.
Oh, okay. That's a lot harder. Yesterday I was practicing Vietnamese because I was going to the nail shop to get my nails fixed. So they said I did really good. But if not, Spanish is my language. So yeah, I want to thank you so much, Ege, for just coming on Gems Podcast and just sharing your wisdom with the audience. Audience, once again, Ege's information will be in the show notes. And my big ask is for brand sponsors to continue to fuel the mission and movement behind the platform, which is to bring content that's educational, inspirational, and motivational, while also weaving in diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, because it takes all of us coming together to make this world a better place. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe the podcast. We're available on 40 plus audio platforms and YouTube, where you can find all the videos. So until next time, peace, love, and lots of blessings. I hope you have an amazing day and shine bright like the star you are. Thank you, Ege.
Thank you.